Item 2, from the Director, Department of Administrative Services, providing an informational update on the courthouse fire recovery. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee. And Mr. Chairman, you'll note that the Comptroller's Office has submitted an additional attachment that we will be attaching to this file.
Thank you. Mr. Tyler.
Mr. Chair, good morning, supervisors. Been a relatively quiet month in terms of the restoration work, and provided you with a brief informational report for this cycle, and there's not much more to add above and beyond the report, but the work as it relates to the distribution of power continues. We continue to work very closely with Universal and Peeper Electric in the final phase of that restoration process. We continue to identify various transformers and other electrical components throughout the complex, assessing their condition and what needs to be repaired or replaced. So right now we're continuing that work. That work is frankly going a little bit slower than what I had hoped it would, but the work continues just the same. In terms of cause and origin, you might recall at the last meeting I had mentioned that we were hoping to have our reservations of rights letter withdrawn from the insurance fund within several weeks of to 1 month from the meeting last March. That has not occurred just yet. We are meeting with the insurance fund tomorrow, and we hope to get a little bit more direction in terms of the status of cause and origin and the withdrawal of the reservations of rights letter. Nothing different as it relates to what the initial findings are, as it relates to the fact that it was a fire, no surprise there, and that it seemed to be started in one of the capacitors, and a lot of the damage throughout the whole courthouse was related to smoke and soot damage as a result of the oil within the capacitor starting fire. As it relates to costs, not much different there. We've received about $13 million in reimbursements from the fund, and we've paid out about that same amount as well. We continue to scrub the current invoices for the first quarter from Universal and the subcontractors. We have made virtually no payments yet this year because we're going through the scrubbing process alongside the insurance fund before we make any future payments. So as you recall, the board approved a $4 million funding to cover any of the costs in the beginning of 2014, and virtually all of that, none of those funds have been paid out at this point. So that's it as it relates to the costs. And in terms of 10th Street, I think you know a few weeks ago we opened up the 10th Street Annex parking, and that seems to be going fairly well. We are days away. I plan to actually send out an announcement today that we will be opening up 10th Street and the 10th Street entrance to the public. So that's very good news. We're just finalizing everything with the restoration company and the city to get the street going, and we're also working with transit to make sure that we've got the bus line and the bus stop going along 10th Street. So, again, not much to report, but I'm more than happy to take any questions that you might have.
Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Tyler, I have asked for, and I've gotten some information in the past, I'm looking for the security people, or the people who are out near 10th Street and State Street.
Yes.
And those people. I believe their wage, their fringe and wages came out to be $55 or so. And what I asked for is a breakdown. Universal Restoration gets money, and that $55 has been attributed to those individuals, but I also understand that there's some overhead
That's correct.
And money goes to here, 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 here. I'd like to know where those heres are, those mm-hmm. different places, and some breakdown with respect to.
Okay. Mr. Chair? Yeah. Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I will actually we'll make that as a topic with the insurance fund tomorrow. And I am trying to get a meeting with Universal and PEPR either tomorrow or Monday, and I'll bring that up. Those subcontractor relationships are between the contractor and the subcontractor, but I will let them know about that.
The reason is that if there's $55 attributed to one individual, okay, wages and mm-hmm. fringes, whatever goes in there, I'd like to know what that is, because my thinking is that there's a lot of overhead that's going to various entities,
right.
And somehow it shows up as $55, and that may not, as far as I'm concerned, that may be real, it may not be real.
Right.
I'd like to have a breakdown.
Yes. Happy to do that. I mean, I'm happy to request that information.
Thank you.
Supervisor Roger. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, to date, at least during my tenure here, it seems that our deferred maintenance problems and we all, I think, understand how deep those run, have been met by various administrations with a singular strategy, and that is to have good insurance. Fortunately, in this case, we did, but I don't think that in any sense relieves us of our responsibility for repairing and replacing worn-out and dangerous systems. Had we done that in a timely fashion, this fire likely would not have occurred. And we were also fortunate in the sense that life and limb was not at risk to the degree it might have been had this occurred at a different hour. So, you know, I begin to question, we recently had a circumstance with the Charles Ellis Villa Terrace where the CIC refused, in effect, to replace a boiler. We remedied that as a board, but had we gone with the recommendation of the CIC with this severely cold winter, a couple of frozen pipes, and we would have had wreckage on our hands in terms of a fine building that is the county's property. So I think we have to begin to question at some point the self-imposed cap on capital spending when we consider what's at risk. And we'll be looking at that more, I think, over the course of the coming budget season. Thank you.
Mr. Tyler?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, I directionally agree with the supervisor relative to deferred maintenance. And the consequence, and I think, you know, it's been interesting, we've been a taker with the insurance fund. We've been the benefactor relative to the rates that we pay and the claims that we receive. And just to give you a heads up on that, you know, that party to some extent is over. No surprise, but the insurance fund is certainly going to be looking at changing the structure on that. And I agree, there's huge deferred maintenance issues. And I'm hoping that we continue to get support on the prioritization process of making sure that we do the work that we need to do on our core properties. Thank you.
Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the situation that occurred in risk management, do we have any plans on bringing in an outside auditor to look at the whole finances of this?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, we do not currently have any plans to bring in an auditor, and I'm not sure if you're talking about a specific situation or just if you're referring to processes and procedures. When it comes to processes and procedures in terms of how we manage our relationships with our general contractors that are responding to emergency situations, how we manage our relationships with our insurance carriers, processes and procedures. I can assure you that we are taking a much closer look at those processes and procedures. But as it relates to the situation in terms of an individual that was arrested, the district attorney continues that investigation, and we really aren't doing anything until after that's concluded.
Well, I think that it would be prudent to sort of get somebody you know, in the queue here that we could call upon to come in and do whatever audit is necessary due to the circumstances. We're talking about, I believe it's roughly $12 million that was paid to one company that now we have discovered had a, you know, inappropriate or assumed inappropriate relationship with one of our county employees. Maybe that bill should be, you know, $10 million and not $12 million. I'd like to have some independent outside entity tell me that every dollar we've spent has been spent appropriately.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, to maybe clarify on my end, the DA has an ongoing investigation, and I can't speak to the scope because I don't know the scope. But I would imagine, I'd have to speculate, I guess, that part of that investigation is broad and related to the courthouse fire, but that's only speculation on my part. I know that they have asked for and have received copies of invoices related to the courthouse fire, so I would suspect that they're doing that. I should also tell you that as just a matter of course, the insurance fund hires a forensic accountant to scrub the invoices, and I would suspect that that would be part of their process as well.
Just to follow up, I guess maybe this is just the same mindset as deferred maintenance. The fact is it's about being proactive and making sure that we have things in order so that we can react in a timely manner due to a situation. I'm not asking you to speculate on anything, whether or not, you know, that situation. In fact, I would, like I said, I'm trying to stay away from making accusations about that. It's more about what have we been prepared to do to make sure that all of the spending has been appropriate. Thanks.
Other questions or comments? I want to thank the comptroller for pulling together those numbers. That was something that I'd been asking for, and I think other members of the committee wanted to see in what sort of in one place a synopsis. Were there questions for the comptroller about his portion of the report? If not, okay. Thank you. That was an informational item. Take item 3.